Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive.
Yeah.
It's great to clinch and know that we're in, but, you know, let's enjoy the moment and then turn the table and get ready for Washington.
When you're getting them pennies on the hardcore.
But take that L on the way out.
What was... We have to congratulate the Nuggets, Zach. D-Mac, Zach Bai, way to go, Nuggets. That was awesome. Just handled things with class and celebrated in a cool way. And, you know, we'll dig into the Nuggets here in a little bit, but just want to open up and say, you know, way to go. Mike Trout gets a guaranteed contract of 400... 12 years, $430 million, Zach.
My God.
Oh, my God. Wow.
If there's anyone, first of all, wow. No, I don't think anyone deserves that kind of money. Or whatever. The marketplace is telling you that's the case. Whatever. But if anyone did, it's Mike Trout. Mike Trout, I was looking at his numbers before we came in here, and they're striking. They're striking. And,
it's awesome.
You know, baseball has this, you know, war, wins above replacement.
Mm-hmm.
No player in the history of the sport, D-Mac, has put up more wins above replacement through age 26 than Trout. It's a 64.3. That's his war. 64.3. For contextual purposes, Nolan Arenado, his war, which is terrific, is a 33-1. And we know how awesome that guy is at playing baseball. Mike Trout's a 64-3. It's insane.
Awesome.
240 dingers, nearly 650 RBIs, nearly 800 runs, almost 200 stolen bases. Guy hits over 300 for his career. But it is worth note, Angels have only made one, and this is baseball. Angels, with a player that great, have only made the playoffs one time in his eight-year career, and they got swept in that first round by the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, he's not a pitcher.
That's right.
But, you know, that's a whole nother deal. Jeff Hierman, why are you back here?
I mean, I knew it was the right decision all along. I guess, yeah, Friday when I, you know, kind of finalized it was when we went through everything and, you know, really made the decision. And this is where I wanted to be. You know, this is where my NFL career started. And as a player, you want to finish where you start. And, you know, that's my ultimate goal. So,
you like the signing? Yes or no?
Yes, if there's more that's next. If there's more, that's next. If Jeff Hierman is the plan to catch passes from Joe Flacco, a guy who in 14 of his 37 career games has had one or less receptions, Jeff Hierman, who 20% of his career catches came in one game this past year against the Texans. I mean, like, think about what I just said. 20% of his career catches came in one game against Houston this past year. He misses on average of a quarter of a season, and that's not counting the entire season he missed in 2015. Guy's missed 22 career games since being drafted.
Would you rather have Hockenson or Devin White?
Hockenson, 10 times out of 10. And Devin White's a hell of a player.
Who's your inside linebacker?
who's my inside linebacker? Don't know. Someone later in the draft? I mean, your boy throwing a Todd Davis, a Josie Jewell.
Mac Wilson?
Sure.
Second round?
Mac Wilson, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But what I know is that the Broncos...
Because you realize that's the decision that's going to have to be made.
Inside linebacker or tight end?
I mean, Hockenson at 10 or somebody else. Because he's not going to be around in the second round. He's going to be gone.
Right.
So.
I mean, the guy is...
Unless you like I was watching Alabama Pro Day today. Maybe you love Irv Smith. Maybe he's your guy. So, I don't know. I mean, there's other tight ends. Maybe you like Fant. Maybe, like, I don't know. Who knows?
And he's probably going in the first round, too. If you look at how the two tested, this is actually crazy.
That's why when you say you think Hockenson is Kelsey, I really kind of roll my eyes at that.
Well,
I mean,
you got to understand, D-Mac.
That's a massive leap. Kelsey is just, like, just so up there. He's in the rarest of air.
Well, that's why we're talking about this guy going at 10. That's why he was just mocked there today.
By Bucky Brooks. Yeah.
I mean, D-Mac, he's that good. He's that good. And it was Lance Zierlein of NFL.com. I hope I'm saying that last name right. He does a great job with the draft profiles.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that made the comparison to Travis Kelce. I mean, Hockenson is The dude looks generational at that position.
You're telling me he's Travis Kelce? Then, okay. Because I think Travis Kelce is the best tight end in football because I think Gronk is just hurt. I love Gronk. And I think Gronk might come back for one more year because I understand he's doing hot yoga. So, at least in Florida, it was billed as a hot yoga place. You never know down there. But
was he in and out in 12 minutes? That's typically just a warm-up time.
Usually when I'm at In-N-Out for 12 minutes, I got a burger. But, you know, for Robert Kraft, that means something different.
That's right.
Thank you. My favorite story of the day is the Robert Kraft story.
He's got a shot. He's got a shot to walk away with no real criminal penalty.
And here's what they're doing. So he can walk away. He can walk away, Zach. But he'll have to do 100 hours of community service. And then he'll have to take a class about prostitution and not like how to continue it, like why it's bad.
And
he has to
and
watch film of himself and admit that it's him during the act.
Right.
And paying the person. Like that is one of the conditions.
You're missing one condition.
He's got to watch it. He's got to say he's guilty. He's got to do community service. What else? What am I missing?
He's got to get tested.
Oh, right. That's right. He's got to get tested. Right. Forgot that. That's a good part.
Can't bring that home.
No. God forbid.
Can't bring that
home. God forbid these senior citizens, you know, eating dinner at 4:30. Because the vast majority, like, he's like in the middle. He's like the mid-range, you know, of these whippersnappers. So what ultimately they're doing in this story with Robert Kraft, he's doing the walk of shame.
Shame.
That's it.
Shame.
He is getting shamed.
You're going to admit it.
Shame.
So you can walk free.
Shame.
But you got to get shamed.
What's his play here?
Shame.
What's his play? If you admit it, if you go down that route.
If you're not Robert Kraft, if you're just like a dude. If you're just a guy, sorry, that's me. All right, I need to put away library books for like 2 weeks? Okay, sucks. All right, I'll do it. Oh, when I got tested? Yeah, no big thing. Take some blood. I got to go to a prostitution class? All right, give me a Saturday. I'll get it done. It's really not that big of a deal. I mean, it's annoying. But the problem for Kraft is that if he gets shamed, which is what they want him to do, he has to lose the team. He cannot admit to this and keep the New England Patriots. Can't do it. Can't do it. They got the owners' meetings coming up in like a couple of days.
That's right.
I mean, he's going to be in front of all the owners down at the Biltmore in Arizona. John Elway's down there now because he's part of the competition committee, and they're getting together for meetings before the owners' meetings. Wow. What drama there. Zach, that because he has a court date on the 28th of March.
That's right.
So the owners' meetings are before that. So he's going to have to figure this out pretty darn quick. So what I think he needs to turn over the Patriots, and I think he needs to announce that at the owners' meeting.
The chances of that actually happening in my gut are like 1%.
Well, where else is this going? Is he really going to take this to trial?
Maybe so.
All right.
Maybe so.
That'll be fun. Can't wait to see those video played in front of a jury.
Well.
and for what? I mean, it's gonna be the same result.
Right.
He's going to be found guilty.
But how many times have we seen, like, what we would deem insurmountable evidence against a guy?
Dude, that they got his car there.
I got him there. I got you.
They got everything on video. I mean, what else is there?
Dude, I just watched this documentary, 6-part series on HBO called The Jinx. You ever heard of it?
No.
The Jinx by Robert Durst.
I did see that.
He's the heir to basically a skyscraper owning family in New York City. They've owned New York for generations.
Mm.
And
that's been out for a while.
It has been.
Okay.
I just saw it within the past week. It is fascinating because you lay out the evidence against Robert Durst and there is no way, shape, or form you can walk away from it and say, okay, you didn't kill your wife, your friend who knew it, and your neighbor, like the guy was dismembering his neighbor, admitted it, and somehow still walked away. So with stuff like this and the way that our justice system is set up, I just never say never. That's all.
These should be the final days of Robert Kraft owning the New England Patriots. And the easy thing to do is just pass it down to his son, Jonathan. And at 77, this really actually shouldn't be that big of a deal for him. I mean, I'm pretty sure his son will still let him in the owner's box.
He's a young 77. He's pulling two-a-days at the spa.
Yeah. Less than 24 hours.
That's a quick turnaround. A bounce back. He must have a T-center.
Right back at it. Yeah, he's got a lot of spirit. So, yeah, he probably doesn't want to because it's cool being an owner, dude.
You're the man.
You get to be the man. You get to take a trophy from Jim Nance. You get to, you know, sort of be cute and cuddly like an Ewok. You know, you get to, you know, talk like, yeah, Tom Brady, I love Tommy. But it's time, man. You got caught. You're guilty as sin. You're promoting freaking sex trafficking worker, whatever.
That's the thing. The proximity to that situation is, it's not directly tied in, but.
He's not being charged with it.
This is part of a
sting.
So nobody is being. I'm not sure. It's just not a good look for the National Football League.
You think? Anyways, he's got to ditch it, or be made to ditch it. Either way, it's going to happen one way or the other. So that's news today. The like what he has to do to be not guilty is really not a big deal for most people. But for Robert Kraft, it would be a big deal. It might cost him the team.
It may.
We see.
It may.
I got something else that's kind of fun. But first, I want to go to Jay. Jay, you're on the fan. Good afternoon, Jay.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's up, happening?
Dude? All right, I'll make a quick question here. So, I've been hearing a lot of Bronco fans putting on a little bit of orange-colored glasses, which I'll admit I'm one, too. But I'm kind of wondering what you guys think in terms of bringing in Flacco. And why should I believe this is any different than Keenum? I mean, Keenum came from a, you know, NFC West championship team. We were told he'll come in, he'll manage the offense, he won't make mistakes, yada, yada, yada. And now we're kind of getting the same story with Flacco, who's, you know, kind of had one good year in the last six, and they couldn't wait to bench him for Lamar Jackson. So just kind of wondering, how are we supposed to believe that now all of a sudden we're in the playoffs? I mean, I just wonder. I guess I'm being skeptical. Call me a cynic, but I just don't quite see it yet, guys. And I'm just wondering what you think of that. And love the show, and I'll hang up and listen to you.
Thank you, Jay.
Zach? Well, my approach to that would be Case Keenum had one rock-solid season. Joe Flacco has a decade sample size with one losing season. Joe Flacco has been to the mountaintop. Case Keenum got close. And when I say close, it wasn't that close at all, if you remember that championship game. Joe Flacco, there's going to be no learning curve with Joe Flacco. Like, the thing that will stick out for me, a couple things. One, you know, when Case Keenum was announced as the franchise quarterback here, it was almost like a too good to be true scenario that he said out loud, I can't believe John Elway just announced me as the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos. With Joe Flacco, he was drafted to be the guy. I mean, they actually couldn't be more opposites. Case Keenum went undrafted. Joe Flacco was a first round quarterback. Case Keenum had one solid season. Joe Flacco's had one losing season. Case Keenum's never thought about the Super Bowl. Joe Flacco had the most prolific three-game stretch, arguably, along with Nick Foles, in the history of the NFL playoffs. So he's been there. There's less faith involved this time around than there was a year ago because faith is based off things that aren't seen. We've seen Joe Flacco raise a Lombardi trophy, Super Bowl MVP. He's reached the zenith of all of sports. So I think it's a hell of a lot more believable this time around.
It's a good question by Jay. Good answer by you, too, for sure. I saw something today that had that definitely made me laugh about Joe Flacco telling me the difference between Flacco and Case Keenum. Keenum famously wrote a book. We talked all about it. Congratulations. And we always said the end of the movie should be our new starting quarterback is Keenum. And Case, laughs, roll credits. And he walks out with a suit, and there's his wife, and he did it. That's the end of the book. Unfortunately, there was this was a dark mini series on HBO. It wasn't just a happy Disney movie, at the Cineplex for a minute, an hour and 39 minutes. This one keeps going. And in the dark miniseries world of, HBO TV.
Lifetime.
You know
something dark is coming.
Well, something's coming on. It's not all sunshine. And if you're following Dexter on Showtime, something bad's about to happen. Like, this ain't going to be good.
I don't know much about Dexter, but I know people get chopped up.
Well, that's right. That's right. So, he thought he was in The Lion King, but he was really on Dexter. He was about to get like a knife plunged through his corpse. Which is a typical ending on Dexter, by the way. So, Joe Flacco, though, did you catch this today? He's got his own product line of t-shirts. I am not joking. Go check out his Twitter, Joe Flacco's Twitter.
Oh, God.
He is selling Mile High Joe t-shirts, but he's selling one of the coolest t-shirts I've ever seen. And I can't believe I didn't think of it. I mean, we did think we were smart enough around here, not me, but Raj and the people behind the scenes to come up with 104.3 The Fan Geo. That was pretty clever.
That was.
Joe Flacco has come out with a t-shirt that says, Flack, comma, co. Co being Colorado and Flack as if it's like, a town. Flack, co. Broncos country. Something with Broncos country. I know it was tempting.
Welcome to Bronco land.
To put that in there, but he actually, are you looking at it? Can you see it? Are you finding it or not?
I'm seeing some variation.
Well, there's Mile High Joe. Yeah. No, you got to see the Flack Co. So it made me think for a second. Why would somebody making $18 million a year want to sell t-shirts? I mean, what are the margins on these t-shirts? What could he possibly be making? There you go. What do you think of that? Look at that. Flack Co. Nation. Flack Co. Nation and some mountains.
It's
and
not bad.
A couple of river lines that make it look like rivers. And
welcome to Bronco land.
Wait, does it say country or nation?
It says nation.
Nation. Oh, we kind of got it wrong, huh?
Right.
Right. It should be Flacco. So apparently Joe Flacco's got his own nation. So John Elway's calling it Broncos land, and Joe Flacco's calling himself a nation. Now, what has this got to do with anything? The only thing I would point out here, and I really do not know why he has a cheap t-shirt clothing line, although I love that t-shirt. I want to get me one of them purple Flacco t-shirts.
You could use some new threads.
You didn't really have to go there. Do you know what college tuition cost me a month, Zach?
I hear you.
Are you sure? You sure you want to throw those stones? I'll be checking out your wardrobe in 17 years from now. See how you're doing. I'll see how the fashion police, you and Stokely, are doing in 17 years from now. We'll see what that looks like.
Fingers crossed for a scholarship. Or get into a trade or something.
My point, my big roundabout point is Flacco's just in a different world than Case Keenum. He's in a world of much higher expectations. He's in a world of developing his brand and selling t-shirts. He has enough wherewithal or standing to be able to do something like that. Who in the world would buy a Case Keenum t-shirt for any particular reason? And frankly, who would Case Keenum be to even think that he could do this? Now, my guess, somebody pointed out, NFL stars often use these type of resources to pay for other charitable things. It's not like they're putting the money in their pocket.
Okay.
But if they're doing a football camp or if they're benefiting charity somehow, they commonly use these streams of revenue to do that. So I will assume that's what it's all about. I kind of like the Mile High Joe thing. I think that's pretty cool, actually. And I really love the Flacco Nation. Although the nation thing, I'm sure, is killing you.
Welcome to Bronco land.
But still, to me, this is the difference between Case Keenum, Zach, and Joe Flacco. Flacco's an established guy with confidence and a track record. More or less what you were saying, by the way. No, not really different. But he comes at this from a totally different perspective, where Case Keenum wrote a book and was just like, he was at the mountaintop already. And this doesn't indicate to me that Joe Flacco thinks he's at the mountaintop. To me, this is an indication of how he thinks, I'm rebranding myself here.
Sure.
Like, I'm just getting going here. And I think he exuded that confidence at the press conference. I think selling these cheap T-shirts, which I'll assume go to benefit charity, which are kind of cool.
He's got a logo. Cool. I didn't realize Joe has a logo.
Joe Flacco has his own TB12 type of logo.
He does. It's a J and J5, a 5. Yeah. The top of the 5 is the second slash of the F for Flacco, so the Joe Flacco 5. I didn't know he had his own logo.
I think he's got a cool logo.
You want to know what?
So Joe Flacco, Mr. Boring, has his own like brand out there.
I guess so.
He's a hustler.
It's news to me. But one of these things is a lot more warranted than the other when we talk about Case writing a book. I was probably the most optimistic on this station about Case Keenum when I found out he was writing the book, but more importantly, when the book was being released. Do you remember when it was released?
It was released sometime before training camp?
No. Week one of the NFL season.
Okay.
And I just hated the idea. When you write a book, like Case poured himself into that book. You want to go to signings. You want it to do well. You want it to promote it the right way. Mm. And it was the ultimate dividing of focus, if you ask me. Now, I'm not saying that's the reason why Case Keenum fell on his face here, okay? I just didn't like putting the cart before the horse a bit. That I am right, and this goes to your, you know, your
can I give you something
not
else?
Lion King.
Can I give you something else Case did?
Sure.
He bought a freaking huge house. He didn't rent one. He bought one. The dude.
That's betting on yourself.
There's a lot of indications that would say Case had achieved like everything he thought he was ever going to achieve and was ready to settle in. And my impression so far with Joe Flacco is we're starting over. Now, that could mean absolutely positively nothing. He could get out on the field, Zach, and get hurt again.
He could.
He could be tentative the way a lot of quarterbacks who are hit and are injured can be tentative. We really don't know. So on the surface, what's the difference between Joe Flacco and Case Keenum? Maybe not a lot if you just look at their records and how they've been doing statistically. But who they are as players and as people, it's a huge difference. And away we go. And away we go. And Zach, I don't want to hear it. There's no looking back. There's no bringing in Mark Sanchez. There's no bringing in Team Slaughter. This is it. So whatever you're doing to support Joe Flacco, understand that you're doing it to support Joe Flacco, which is why like Trevor Siemian would make so much sense. It's why Blake Bortles would have made sense. It's why Ryan Tannehill would have made sense. These people aren't competing with him. They're there to help him and help the Broncos develop. So drafting Drew Lock, Sports Illustrated, come on. Give me a break.
Silliness.
Give me a break. So the next step for the Broncos in this process should be fun, as are the next step for your Denver Nuggets. And yes, I have picked the winning bracket in the NCAA tournament. It's so incredibly unique.
Oh, unique is a good word to describe it.
And it's what you need to do if you want to win your bracket. Never mind, like, knowing things about basketball. This is how you should go. I'll give you the details coming up.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Broncoland. Let me go to my boy, Stan. Stan the man. What's on, brother?
Hey, I've got two questions for you, D-Mac.
Yeah.
First question is...
Don't be rude to Zach. Zach's sitting right here, pal.
Well, hold on, man. Hold on. The first question is who's 104 The Fan going to sign in free agency to get in on the show with you? The second question is, who do you guys think that the Broncos are going to draft offensively? I'm talking maybe third, fourth round, tight end, wide receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, seems like they've got the defense a little bit short up. They're going to probably go maybe tackle their defense in that first round. But right. What about offensively?
It's a good question. Thank you, Stan. Are we in fan free agency right now? Maybe we are. I felt like we were doing like American Idol, Zach, to be honest with you. Or The Voice. Maybe I should be turning around and having a buzzer.
Your chair should be turned around.
Right.
When someone comes in here and says something smart.
Yeah, nail it.
You hit the buzzer, you turn around and say, hey.
We had a suggestion, I think it was Johnny Hart, but said that everybody, you know, in your role right here should be putting on like a costume. Like the Masked Singer, something like that.
I don't mind that.
Really?
Maybe throw a voice changer on there. I believe in my content. I just can't believe
I believe it should be TJ Hawkinson. I'm a purple mouse.
I just can't believe this seat hasn't exploded because I don't have a Super Bowl ring. I thought I had to put it in something, and after 60 seconds, if it didn't register, I'd just explode.
Right. The Broncos offensively in the draft. Well, I mean, we've been talking all about it. I want them to look at a special player on offense at 10 because I think they can get an effective inside linebacker in Mack Wilson, specifically from Alabama. Alabama had their pro day today. Mack Wilson ran a 4.68, which would have put him in kind of in the middle of the pack with linebacker 40s, for whatever that's worth. Mack Wilson is one of these guys, 6'2", 229, something like that. You know, he's one of these exaggerated safeties, Zach. That's the new NFL. You know, these linebackers are really just big safeties. So Devin White is the same thing. Devin Bush is a little smaller. I don't think he's even 6 foot. I think he's like 5'11", something like that. So, yeah, the world's changing. The Brian Urlachers of the world, Zach, they're your monsters of the midway. You know, those type of guys, they're gone. It's just not in the NFL anymore. What you want are smaller, faster, hard-hitting safety/linebackers. Because who's going to cover Travis Kelce, dude? Who's going to cover TJ Hawkinson? Who's gonna cover these guys?
The Broncos haven't been able to.
That's right.
I mean,
Broncos have checked out of that department, haven't they?
Look, if you want a name, because I can compromise with you here. Like, you wanted DK Metcalf at pick number 10, which, you know, is just ridiculous. But
he's going to go before 15, dude. So if you want him, you got to pick him up.
That's okay. Someone like Buffalo is going to overdraft him, and they'll be kicking themselves.
Buffalo's at 9. You think they're going to take him at 9?
He's been mocked there plenty of times. But if you want a receiver, I believe TJ Hawkinson can change the way that we look at the Broncos offense. It'd be the first legitimate tight end in about a half of a decade here. But if you want a receiver that you can get after day one, you could look at the kid out of Oklahoma. Marquise Brown.
Yeah, I've seen some mocks where he goes actually ahead of DK Metcalf.
Well, he's terrific. Like, if you want to trust someone's trust their body of work,
a slot sort of guy.
No, he's been equated to a guy like a T.Y. Hilton. Like, he's a burner. And watching him Saturday after Saturday,
like DK Metcalf runs a 4.3.
Well, DK Metcalf can't change directions.
Well, you're talking about burners, you're talking about nine routes. I mean, go ahead.
Well, if you look at Marquise Brown play football, it's very different than DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf, for me, and we went over this a little bit yesterday, D-Mac, he's a project, is what I'm trying to say.
Of course he's a project.
He's had
crap coaching.
The Broncos should not be drafting projects at number 10.
You draft somebody special at 10. I think he's special. But I understand your hesitation. I get it. And there is a world where I'm just as happy with DK Metcalf and Mack Wilson. And that's Devin White and N'Keal Harry. You give me Devin White and N'Keal Harry, and then I'm basically just as happy as Metcalf and Wilson. It kind of is the same sort of deal. Now, I would compare Metcalf to like Josh Gordon, but I would compare N'Keal Harry to Demaryius Thomas. And if you could say, hey, we're going to bring in our new Demaryius Thomas for another 9-10 year run, that'd be pretty cool.
D-Mac, we drafted our new DT last year.
Who?
His name's Courtland Sutton.
Oh, no. Courtland Sutton's a different type of receiver. He's like a Randy Moss type of guy. He's not a Demaryius Thomas. Demaryius Thomas, do you know what I'm talking about with N'Keal Harry?
Well, I've heard you talk a lot. Right. I shouldn't say a lot, but I've heard you mention him throughout the college football season.
N'Keal Harry is the guy you do throw outside screen pass to. He's a big, strong guy, but he's not take the top off. He's actually slow. Slowish. He's not a burner like Metcalf. But he's physically just as imposing. I think he might have run like a 4.7, which is absurdly slow. Right?
I think that's what your boy ran today at the combine.
Alabama. Wilson ran a 4.68. I think it might have been adjusted to a 4.7, something like that. Yeah, N'Keal Harry is tough because he just doesn't have that insane breakaway speed, although he's got tons of highlight runs. And we are clearly talking about the second round here with N'Keal Harry.
Sure.
I am not suggesting a first round grade on him. And he would be in the second round at that point, maybe the fifth or maybe the fifth, sixth receiver even taken.
Yeah, I've seen him rated as the seventh, according to your favorite website.
Whereas, like, Wilson might be the third best linebacker. If Devin White's one, Bush is two, Wilson might be three. Harry goes a little deeper, but there'll probably be more receivers taken in the first round anyway. So he's Demaryius Thomas. DK Metcalf is Josh Gordon. I'm not saying he's Julio Jones, but I'm saying he's Josh Gordon. And then Devin White is, I don't know this new linebacker. This is a whole new world. Like, I don't even know who to compare these guys with because they're being asked to do so many different things. So this is the choice I think the Broncos have. We'll dig into it. We congratulate the Nuggets as well. And the bracket you want to know how to win, we'll let you know how next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, we want you to go register for The Fan's 5K Bracket Challenge presented by Breaks Plus. Compete with us. My wife, I got to make some photo. We're going to do some family brackets tonight, sweetie. I got. I'll make copies.
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
All right, Kendall V. Valenzuela is doing a terrific job. She's hosting like these little videos. You did one, right, with Kendall?
I did. Yeah.
Kendall, you know, went to Arizona State, so
good for her.
That's what I said. Forks up. Cronkite School of Broadcasting. Not on the Tempe campus.
Not for you, bud.
Downtown Phoenix.
Whatever.
I'm sorry, what college you go to? Where's your team in the bracket? Where are you guys playing? What are you guys doing? No? You don't, so you just get left out at this time. As much as you love basketball. And you love basketball, right?
Love it.
I mean, you're a collegiate basketball player.
Shut up!
You're in your high school Hall of Fame for basketball.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
But when it comes to this time of the year, you're on the sidelines.
That's just sick.
Sorry.
Follow the Division II bracket.
Ouch. So who do you just root for Duke? Like just the rest of the posers out there?
No. You know, each year, I love college basketball, so I'll adopt a team or two that I really take a liking to. This year, Villanova, for a reason I told you yesterday, was a kid from my hometown who I mentored forever. Used to pick him up for workouts and work him out, and he's the first grad transfer ever at Villanova. So I'm rooting for them. But I find myself on the other side of the bracket rooting for Nevada because I've seen the same group of kids.
See, you look at it, you're like one of these guys. You're like a real, you're really a bracketologist. You're actually serious about basketball.
I wouldn't
basketball.
Go that far, but
well,
yes.
Well, you're already more serious than I've ever been in 49 years of looking.
In general, I know what I'm talking
probably
about.
Probably picked it up at 11. Probably not at zero.
But I told you yesterday, Nevada, you know, Eric Musselman's their coach. Remember Eric Musselman used to coach in the NBA?
Yeah.
He's their coach. They got 6 1,000-point scorers on their team.
You don't have to bring it down. I believe you. You're way smarter on this stuff than I. But I'm just going to tell you how you should do your bracket. What you should do if you went to a real school and your school happens to be in the NCAA tournament.
You claim Syracuse so hard.
Oh.
But Syracuse does not claim you.
Very funny. Oh, you're funny. So here's what you do. If you first of all, you have to have gone to a real school, And then your school has to make the NCAA tournament, not the NIT like CU. But your team has to actually make the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And then when you have a child, your child goes to a real school, and they make the tournament too. And you are more than welcome to adopt them as well.
I see you in full Arizona State garb.
On a daily basis. So here's how you do. You just pick your school. Now, here's where Mike Evans is amazing. Even though he spent the same amount of time at Syracuse as I did, at the same time, by the way, although we never ran into each other, which is amazing. Mike took the weirdest path through college. He really is super strange what he did. But that being said, Mike often, almost always, picks against the Cuse in the NCAA tournament. So there are games when he's looking at his bracket, Zach. Can you imagine this? Spend all that time, all that money, all that energy, and you're sitting there and you're hoping your school loses. Because at the end of the day, don't you want your bracket to be right?
Yeah.
And for those that do like 5 or 6 different brackets, you're not real.
That's what I am.
Yeah, you're nothing.
I'm 4 or 5 deep.
Yeah.
I'll go 4 or 5 deep.
Yeah, because you didn't go to like a real school that could really play in the tournament.
Well,
so.
You say that. I mean, if you had an option to do something different, like if Metro came to your boy and said, hey, we'll pay for every ounce of your schooling.
Yeah.
Your daddy will not have to foot the bill because you're going to come here for free.
My kid's
going to pay baseball.
Go play baseball, be a roadrunner?
He's going to come here and play baseball. He's going to be a roadrunner.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
You can pay out the nose to go to Arizona State.
Yeah.
He's going to Metro, right?
Well, that's up to him. He can do whatever he wants.
What if it was you?
Well, I go to a real school, so I go to Syracuse.
Right. But if you were 17...
Zach, hold on. Do you understand what it takes to get into Syracuse compared to what it takes to get into Metro?
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Are you aware...
You're not going to put us through this, are you? You know, we're still on the air, right?
I don't have to go through the daunting details for you, but you got to try a little bit in high school.
Well...
there's something going.
A 77 average got me where I was going.
Well, that's about right. So here's how you pick your bracket. Now, of course, most people, I'm going to be hated by this, because if you didn't go to a real school, of course, you think I'm just being an arrogant jerk. But the NCAA is ultimately so corrupt that you can sit there and just, you know, go chalk. So I go chalk, by the way, because most of the time chalk actually wins for you.
Square.
And then I just pick the schools that I'm connected to, Syracuse and Arizona State. And they did play in the play-in game last year, and I did pick Syracuse to win, and they did. And they're going to meet up again in the, I think, quarterfinal, Sweet 16. It would be Arizona State and Syracuse. And I got Syracuse winning again. Because at the end of the day, I'm more loyal to my wife than my kid, who doesn't even live with me anymore. And I sleep next to my wife most nights if things are going well.
And so, if things aren't, where are you at?
And so that's exactly what you should do. So I picked Syracuse to win the entire tournament. I get them upsetting Duke. I have an all-ACC final because I go chalk. I always pick against North Carolina when I have a choice because they're the only school that rejected me when I applied for college. So I got Syracuse against Virginia and Syracuse winning. I got 4 teams from the ACC all in the tournament.
So you picked against UNC because they didn't accept you into school.
Yes.
You are a vengeful man.
Yes. So my advice is follow the money, your money, and then be vengeful and bitter. And then shove it in other people's faces because none of us really know anything about these teams. So this is the time where I'm giving you permission to be jerks to people that went to D2 schools or schools that did not make the tournament.
Here's my advice.
Let it out.
Here's my advice. Go to 1043thefan.com, click on my bracket, and copy it. That's my advice.
Look for the videos that are going to be funny. Plus, Kendall, rising star in the world of the fan. Are they now? 1 minute? 1 hour? I don't understand what you're saying, Johnny. We got to go. Thank you, Big Sexy, Kyle Berry, Johnny Hart. We're going to be on Facebook Live, Zach, my man.
Put it there.